hymnal, turn to number 483. 483, we will stay seated for this one, Like a River Glorious. Stand for this one. We're going to sing this chorus twice through 640, and after the second time we sing it, that's when the fellas will come up for offering. 640 starts on the bottom of one page and flips over to the next.
Jesus, save and keep me. coming right now, and you can stay standing for a word of prayer. Again, opportunity to give to the Lord, regular tithes and offerings as the Lord blesses you. Give on a regular basis. I trust that you do. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, take the offerings, the tithes, use them for your honor and glory. What a privilege it is, Lord, to give back to you, knowing, Lord, that you own the cattle on a thousand hill, and Lord, that you are able. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Seth, you know, moms and dads, teach the kids that there's joy in serving Jesus when they get older. I tell you what, as I've aged, I have really enjoyed over the years watching the kids come up through, and ones that have been given a talent by the Lord, watching them hone it and then using it for the Lord. And that was a blessing, Seth. Thank you for that. Keep it up. All right, we are going to sing number 639. We're going to stand for this one. 639, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Thank you. You may be seated. Appreciate the singing, appreciate the music, appreciate the offertory. Glad to have you here. We're going to dismiss our little tykes for truth. And they're going to head to their Bible class tonight, learn about truths from the Word of God. And I believe tonight is Miss Karen with Emily helping. So glad to have the youngsters here tonight. Now I want you to watch and observe the youngsters going out. You need to know them by name. Doesn't do any good just to see boys and girls at church and smile at them. Never talk to them. All right? Know who they are. Pray for them. Pray tonight. God would work in their heart even at their age. All right? They'd listen. The Word of God would arrest their heart and their soul. I was talking to somebody today after the service, and I was asking them about salvation, and they said, oh, I remember it was a long time ago, second grade. It was in second grade. They had attended a Christian school, and they said they had done something wrong, and they were getting a little bit of discipline, and the teacher had to deal with this student, and then through dealing with that, talking about sin and why we punish sin and what Christ took and how they trusted Christ. I would imagine a second grader's around 7 or 8. Some of you have a testimony to that when you're younger. And so let's pray for our young people. We're not just here just to have a program to keep them out of our hair or to get them out of here because they can't sit still. All right? That's not the object. All right? The object is to teach them the Word of God. And moms and dads, great opportunity for you after they're done tonight to say, what did you learn? What did your teacher talk about? Well, what songs did you sing? All right? And were you able to be a servant tonight? Did you help anybody? All right, those are the kind of questions moms need to ask them, and be good follow-up. Pray for the teachers as well, and if God's used one of the teachers or a Sunday school teacher or a children's church teacher, tell them that. Sometimes they're the sort of the forgotten. We appreciate them, but we just forget to say, you know what, I just never want to tell you thank you for teaching my young person, or thank you for teaching that class, and I'm praying for you. I know that would mean a lot. In your Bibles, Old Testament tonight, Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 23, 1 Samuel chapter 23, not charge, all right? Some of you woke up there, wait, sword drill. Remember those old days, all right? Teen youth group and Sunday school. 1 Samuel 23, if you need a Bible, there should be a pew Bible handy right there. It's a dark blue color, navy blue, and you can turn to page 464. That'll get you to where you want to be. 464 if you want to use one of the pew Bibles tonight. I encourage everybody to have a Bible out. Open it up, read it, see what God says for yourself, all right? And 1 Samuel 23 is where we'll be. We will eventually, in the next few weeks, as the Lord leads, probably start a new preaching series, Bible study on Sunday nights through a book of the Bible, since we have finished up the book of Ruth, but not quite there yet. So I'm just going to do a short series of several weeks, unless the Lord directs otherwise, on a topic that you'll find out about here in just a minute, all right? 1 Samuel 23 here tonight. We're going to read the first 5 verses and have a word of prayer. First 5 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 23. Just before we jump in, the context here is David is not yet king. This would be several years after David became famous for killing Goliath. He's on the run. We don't know how long he was on the run from Saul, but some would say 5, up to perhaps even 15 years. How long he was a hunted man, the original fugitive, all right, running and trying to be killed and hunted down, sometimes by a few people, sometimes by 3,000 men. And so this is in the occasion where he is sort of trying to avoid King Saul and those out to seek his life. And so just keep that in mind as we pick it up about midway through 1 Samuel. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah, which would be a city. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Sounds like a fascinating story, but we're really not interested so much in the story here. You say, well, wait a minute. If he's not king, what's he doing fighting here? Well, if you know about David when he was on the run, turn back on your own a few chapters. In fact, just a chapter there in chapter 22, verse 2, and you're going to see that David had men that sort of followed him. Even though he was a younger man, they were men that were in debt and distressed and discontented. I mean, a rough lot to work with, all right? Mercenaries, all right? Not necessarily good, godly people. But he had a band that started around a couple hundred and even swelled to 600 men that followed him, that just went all around. So when they were sort of on the run in the desert and in the wilderness and in the caves, they would occasionally make forays against the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. This was one of the occasions. But we're not here to talk about battles. We're not here to look at strategies, all right? We want to look at two particular phrases that we read, verse 2 and verse number 4. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. I want to look at that theme, if you would, over the next few Sunday nights as the Lord directs. Simple title tonight, Inquiring of the Lord. Inquiring of the Lord. What's David doing here? David is seeking counsel of the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, is this your will? Lord, I don't want to make a move unless I know what you would have me to do. Lord, he's inquiring of the Lord. I want to ask you before we pray tonight. Do you regularly inquire of the Lord? Are you known as a child of God who regularly inquires of the Lord? Now, I didn't say pray. They're not necessarily the same thing. We're not talking about praying for sick people and praying for your country or praying for people from the hurricane. That's great, and you need to do that, but that's not inquiring of the Lord. That's not the same thing. We're talking about, do you go to God on a regular basis? Big things, small things, all things. Say, Lord, I must know what you want me to do on this matter. I'm inquiring of the Lord. I trust that you do. I trust if you don't, that God will use the message tonight to stir you in this area of inquiring of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray now, speak through me as I'm simply the voice piece, Lord, speaking for you, opening the Word of God, the Word of God that is quick and powerful and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God, Lord, that will cut, Lord, through any of our excuses and defenses, Lord, as the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the very heart. Lord, may your Word tonight, I pray, speak to each of us. Lord, if there be any in our midst, Lord, their greatest need is not necessarily inquiring of the Lord. Their greatest need is trusting the Lord as their Savior, recognizing they are lost in their sins, dead in trespasses and sins, not trusting in religion or good works or good deeds, realizing that they are a sinner before you and need to be born again, born from above through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight they would turn from their sins. Lord, confess the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon you for salvation. Lord, for those who have done that and have a testimony of trusting Christ and know for sure they're on their way to heaven, even if they were to die tonight, then Lord, I pray you would speak to them as you speak to me as a child of God in the area of inquiring of the Lord. Lord, I pray that if this is something new or something we just don't practice tonight, may tonight be the night we begin to do that. Lord, I pray on a regular basis for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. David inquired of the Lord. Now, this ties in a little bit even with those of you who were in our adult Sunday school class. And again, we do have a ladies' class now for a few months, and there was a small group here, but we're looking at dispensations or dispensational theology. Sounds scary, but it's not. And just to see how the Lord, different time periods in the Bible of how God works and reveals. You know, David inquiring the Lord here is not necessarily what you and I think, where David's getting down necessarily and just praying like we'd have a prayer meeting. He may very well have done that, but you're going to see another occasion. Look a little bit later in the chapter, chapter 23. So in chapter 23, David has got a group of men, but they're constantly moving. They're constantly in the mountains. They're down in the caves. They're in the wilderness. They're in the desert. I mean, it's pretty hard to keep that many people hidden, but you go through the Bible and you read that. David was a master. He was the men there, they were just, wow. And he's being hunted and so. But while they're doing a lot of this, they sometimes are fighting against the Philistines and other groups and doing things. And so this is what's going on. And so some of his men came and said, hey, the enemies of Israel, the Philistines, they're down there. We have a great opportunity to go down there and do something. We can knock them out. And David didn't just say, let's do it. David inquired of the Lord. Lord, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Is this what you want me to do? I must know the Lord's mind. And the Lord, of course, says, go and do it. But then David's men came back and said, wait a minute. We're a little bit afraid here. All right, you know we're being hunted. We're already being hunted here in Judah, verse 3. What's going to happen if we go down there? And we're going to go, and David said, okay, I'm going to inquire of the Lord again, verse 4. And the Lord answered him and said, "Yeah, basically, yes, I want you to go. Arise and go. This is of me. This is of the Lord. I will do it. I will deliver the Philistines." And so David doesn't just jump into it. He doesn't assume. He doesn't trust his might and his military strategies. He inquires of the Lord. Well, if you keep reading in that chapter, verse number 6, came to pass when Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. This would be one of the priests. All right. And it was told Saul. Word got back, a spy, someone that didn't care for David, that David was gone to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in. He's closed in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. Means they close the gates at night. Hey, this is my opportunity. David and his men are in the city. Verse 8, and Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now look at it, verse 9. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Now we looked at it in Sunday school. God doesn't work that way anymore. We don't have ephods and we don't have priests. We don't need those. But this is how it was back then. All right, bring the ephod. The high priest is going to go before the Lord and we're going to seek counsel of God. Verse 10, then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Lord, I need to know. Will the people in this city, though I've helped them, will they deliver me up? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Verse 12, then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Whoa. Now, fascinating story, and you're going to be wanting to keep reading it, but we're done with that. All right. Well, what happened? They basically said, yes, that they're going to deliver you up. And him and his 600 men, they get out of there. And Saul, of course, does not capture them. But notice David's pattern, inquiring of the Lord. Lord, before I make a move, what do you want me to do? Now, even here at the beginning of the message, I want to ask you, is that your pattern? Do you inquire of the Lord on a regular basis? Again, we're not just merely talking about you pray a lot. I pray for, that's wonderful and that's great. We need to do that. The Bible's clear on that. But I'm talking about inquiring of the Lord. I'm talking about earnestly seeking God's will and desire. Well, let's take a few more examples here, all right? Let's go to chapter 30, just a few pages to your right. A few pages to your right. Here are the pages of the Bible rustling here a little bit. All right, chapter 30. This is another sort of famous story, David and his men. And they had left to go on a little bit of another battle, but they ended up couldn't do anything, so they turned back around. And when they got back to Ziklag, which was their headquarters, another group of people had come in while they were gone and ambushed their city, burned their tents and their houses, and kidnapped their wives and children. It was a disaster. And this group of men that David bought, remember, they weren't good men or godly men. They turned on him. They talked about stoning David and killing him. It was your fault. And many of you know the famous verse there in verse number 6 of chapter 30. David incurs himself and the Lord is God. Boy, those are tough times. None of the men were for him. They all wanted to kill him. David encouraged himself. But notice what David did, verse 7. David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord. Wow. I don't know about that. I mean, I might do it, but I mean, the men are talking about killing me. I mean, the men are looking at me mean. I mean, first it was Saul, but now my 600 men, they disagree. It was my fault. They're blaming it. If their wives and kids are killed, murdered, and raped, David inquires of the Lord. Lord, verse 8, shall I pursue after this troop, after the group that came? Shall I overtake them? And he, that would be the Lord, answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And if you know the story, they did. The Bible says they went and pursued and recovered all, everything just like God said. There was no loss of life, no wife, no child. God, whoa, he inquired of the Lord. You'll see that a lot in the life of David. Go over to 2 Samuel chapter 2. A few more pages to your right. Don't get bored with the Bible. Here we go. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. At this point, Saul has now been killed. He's been killed in battle. Jonathan's been killed in battle. Several other sons of Saul, the princes, have been killed in battle. David is about to become king, at least part of the kingdom. And in chapter number 2 of 2 Samuel, verse number 1, and it came to pass after this, after hearing about Saul's death and Jonathan's death, after his men say, David, you're the man now, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Remember, up to this point, he couldn't go into those places. He had to do it secretly. He was a known man. It was most wanted. Reward. He was not living up in Lord, Saul's dead. Should I go up into Judah? Do you want me to go up in there? And the Lord said, go up. And David said, well, whither? Where should I go up to? And he said, unto Hebron. So David again inquires of the Lord. Go over a few more pages. We're almost finished. Chapter 5, at least looking at some examples. Notice chapter 5, a few more pages to your right. David is now the king. He's the king of Israel. I would imagine if you become the king, it's a little bit easier to not inquire of the Lord. Would you not agree? Would you not agree you'd inquire a lot more of the Lord if you lived paycheck to paycheck, a little house, couldn't pay the bills? You would probably inquire of the Lord a lot more. I imagine it would be a little harder to inquire of the Lord if you were set, you got a big inheritance. You may not find yourself inquiring of the Lord quite as much. David's now the king. I mean, he can pretty much do anything he wants, snap his fingers. Chapter number 5, look at verse 19. Chapter 5, verse 19. However, David was a warrior king. David didn't just sit in the palace. He was out with his men. He slept under the stars. And here is another battle in verse 19 of chapter 5. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David conquered him. But notice a little bit later in the chapter, verse 22, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. What? This time the Lord said, no, do not go up. In fact, it's an interesting story. Fetch a compass. Come upon them against the mulberry trees. In fact, there was a famous message in Sore Lord about a year or two ago. When you hear the stirring of the tops of the mulberry trees. That's come from this story right here. All right. God says, but notice, David, why does he need to inquire of the Lord? He's the king. He's one of the greatest military warriors of all time. He's really never even lost a battle in the Bible. He doesn't need to inquire of the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He's not got, he doesn't just have 600 men anymore. He has the full force of Israel. Lord, do you want me to go? Just because the Philistines are, do you want me to go and attack them? Is this of you? Should I do this? Should I not do this? And you see David inquiring of the Lord. So I want to ask you again, how often are you found inquiring of the Lord? How often are you found seeking God's counsel and wisdom regarding a decision? Can you think right now? Could you just right now just put some proof to the pudding? Just speak to you. When's the last time you did it? Did you do it today? Did you do it Friday? Did you do it a month ago? So the last time you can remember absolutely going to the Lord and inquiring over something, you say, Lord, I don't know. I need you. I need wisdom. I need you to know, is this of you? Is this of you? There may be an opportunity present, but is it of you? This may be something happened. Lord, is this what you want? I need to know, Lord. I'm not moving until you show me. I'm going to seek your face, seeking God's wisdom. Do you do it always? Would you say you do it sometimes? Maybe you'd have to say never. Maybe you say, I do it for the big things. You know, like, well, buying a house? Of course, Lord. Now, Lord, I need to know. We looked at three houses, and Lord, I need to know which house. Okay, most of us probably would. That's a lot of money. Maybe a car. Well, I mean, I got an opportunity to buy the car, but that's still a lot of money, Lord. Lord, is this what you want? Maybe a job. That's big stuff. You know, Lord, I have an opportunity to have a job opportunity. Maybe not. Maybe so. But let me ask you, do you just inquire of the Lord in the big things, what we would say big? How about the little things? Or do you just jump into things? Now, it's interesting, as I was working on this, of course, the Holy Spirit said, did you pray about this message? I was like, wow, don't preach on inquiring of the Lord if I haven't inquired of the Lord. I said, Lord, now, I believe this is what you want me to preach on, but Lord, is this what you want? I'd be sort of foolish and hypocritical to prepare the message and not inquire of the Lord. Lord, is this what you want? I might think it is, but I need to know for sure. Inquiring of the Lord. Or could you say, I inquire of the Lord in all things at all times? I don't know. How about you young people? You think that's just for adults? You think it just magically starts one day? I would say if there's a person in here that's been saved for a good amount of years and you inquire of the Lord regularly, I hope you learned it when you were young. Maybe at the family altar. Maybe when mom and dad say, hey, we're going to pray together. What are we praying for? Because dad needs some wisdom. Because mom and dad, we need to seek the face of the Lord, even if the boys and girls can't pray or don't know what's going on, even if they have their eyes open. Well, mom, I remember mom and dad, we'd take this thing to the Lord. Lord, what would you have us to do? We inquire of the Lord. Maybe you say, Lord, I need to know what you want my family to do. Lord, how would you have me use this money? You do that? Lord, some money has come our way. It was unexpected. Lord, I need to know what you would have me do with this money. This money's your money. You gave this money to us. Now, Lord, I need to know, what would you have me to do with this before I just assume this is what you want? Now, I wish I could tell you that David always inquired of the Lord, but David was like you and I. A man after God's own heart, no doubt about it, one of the great men of the Bible. We're very familiar with his life. The Scripture shines a big spotlight on much of David's life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We're familiar with that. But as I was reading and studying on this a little bit, I started looking back over the occasions where it says he inquired of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily, I suppose, that he never inquired of the Lord outside of that. We're just given what the Holy Spirit put in Scripture. But of all the times that we just read that he inquired of the Lord, almost every one of them were involving a battle, some form of a fight, or being hunted down. Something that would have involved his life. And probably most of us have involved our actual life. Might find ourselves inquiring of the Lord. Because Lord, if this involves me losing my life, that's pretty serious. I need to know what you're doing. But you know, and so I went back a little bit and I began to look at some other examples. Would you flip backwards now a little bit to 1 Samuel 25? Go back to 1 Samuel 25. And if you're familiar with David's life, or you've read through 1, 2 Samuel, even into 1 Kings just a little bit there, and you've gone back and you've read about David's life from the time he was a young shepherd boy to when he was anointed to Goliath through the running and the all of that, begin to see some things. You'll notice there's a lot of things that he didn't inquire of the Lord about. Now, not saying that because the Bible doesn't specifically say it that he didn't, but when you start looking back at some patterns, in 1 Samuel chapter 25, David again is not king. He's got a group of men. He actually sent some of his men to help another man, Nabal, who was a very rich man, help him with the sheep shearing. And then so later on, David said, well, we're coming by, and it would be a blessing if I'm paraphrasing loosely, if we could stop by and perhaps you could feed my men and I. I just assume we did a couple good deeds. We protected your men. We took care of them for a good while. And, of course, if you know the story, Nabal is a mean man. He's an ugly man. He's a wicked man. And he basically shames David's men and shames David, and David gets mad. He gets hot. He gets hot under the collar. You ever get hot under the collar? You ever get mad and make quick decisions? Well, you know what? You go through that chapter there. David basically says, all right, men, get ready, get your swords. We're going down there, and we're going to wipe every last one of them off the face of the earth. Now, you and I would say, David, did you inquire of the Lord about that? David, are you sure? David, is that what God would want you to do? Do you believe that's what God wants you to do? You didn't inquire of the Lord. Lord, now, do you want me to go down there and get mad and get a little revenge? No, he just does it. And he's on the way. And many of you know the story that Abigail, Nabal's wife, a wise woman, a beautiful woman, a woman of godliness, we would say, rushes out and if in a way calms the storm and brings food and provisions and settles things down. And David basically says in chapter 25, take a look there at verse 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood. David, they says, hey, you know what? If it wasn't for you, I would have been killing some people. The Lord sent you. But you know what, David? You didn't inquire of the Lord. You acted rashly. You just assumed, you got angry because someone did to me. And you just went ahead. That wasn't God's will. That's not what God wanted. Glad Abigail came out. And then later in the chapter, when word gets back after a little while to Nabal about what had happened, and you were a dead man, but your wife saved you, he basically has a heart attack. Out of just, whoa, the news so shocks him, and he eventually dies. And many of you know what happened later in the chapter. What happens? David says, well, I'm going to take Abigail to be my wife. What a great godly woman. But look at the end of chapter number 25. End of chapter number 25, verse 43, he takes her to become his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, or Michal, the daughter, David's wife, to... Wait a minute, David. You already have a wife. In fact, your first and should have been your only wife was Saul's youngest daughter that was given to you earlier. But now you have three wives. David, you didn't inquire of the Lord. You didn't say, Lord, now, again, we're going to get to this a little bit later as we look in this. There are some things you don't have to pray about. Lord, do you want me to have another wife? Lord, I'm thinking about number two, but do you want me to have a third wife? No, God does not want you to have those. But if David would have practiced inquiring of the Lord in every area, not just battles, the Lord would have clearly told him, no. This is not of me. What are you doing? This is not of the Lord. But David is acting rashly. Again, he's a sinner just like you and I. And you can go back and you can begin to read many different times where David makes some rash decisions, or he panics and goes down to the Philistines, or he lies to the Philistine king Achish, or he does things like that and he acts rashly like you and I do. He doesn't inquire of the Lord. He just does things, and he gets in trouble for him. And we look back and say, what's going on? And we don't inquire of the Lord. We don't necessarily maybe think we do. Let's take a look at two or three more here. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let's get into the point where he's king now. He's been king now for several years. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, this is really what we're going to look at next Sunday night, Lord willing. So I'm not really going to hit the whole chapter here because I want to look at this story in 1 Chronicles rather than this one. But in chapter number 6, David has a great desire of the Lord. You know what he does? He said, I want to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It's not been where it should be for years. And we're going to look at that next week. But he doesn't inquire of the Lord. He just does it, and he does it his way and man's way. And there's disaster. A man dies. David gets angry. Well, David, you didn't inquire of the Lord. You didn't even ask the Lord. Now, you might say, well, but it's a good thing. I have a good intention. Surely that's a good thing. Why do I need to inquire of the Lord? Well, David, you're going to find out, does the second time inquire of the Lord, and he straightens things out. We're going to look at that next Sunday night. I believe that would do us well to examine that separately by itself. How about chapter number 7? 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And by the way, David is a tremendous king, a tremendous man of God, even with his flaws. I love this portion, these next few chapters. I've preached on these teens so many times. I have a message I haven't preached since I've been here, becoming God conscious. So many people are not God conscious. They're self-conscious. They're spiritually unconscious. But they're not God conscious. They walk around and never see anybody or any needs or anything. A God conscious believer notices people that are hurting, notices visitors, shows friendliness and hospitality, sees the hurting heart, knows when to confront. They see things that need done around the building and outside the building. That's a God. You know what? David's in the prime right here. Every chapter he's, what can I do for the Lord? Is there any of Saul's relatives or Jonathan's? Mephibosheth, okay, bring them in. I would like to build a temple for the Lord. Is there anybody I can help? I mean, David is just so close to the Lord at this part. He's looking around, he's thinking of others. What can I do for God? And in chapter number 7, he has a tremendous burden and desire in chapter number 7 of 2 Samuel. What is it? Look at verse 1. It came to pass when the king sat in his house or his palace, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, you know what David's doing? He's sitting in the palace, and he's looking around thinking of others. He says, wait a minute, this isn't right. I'm sitting around looking at this beautiful home, cedar. And there's maybe silver and gold. It's magnificent. And the Lord Jehovah still's in a tent. The tabernacle is still being used. The tabernacle. Pack it up, pack it down, it's portable. The Lord is still in the tabernacle. That's not right. That my house, my stuff, I should have more than God? And he said, I desire to build the Lord a temple, right? Many of you know that. He says that. Verse number 3. And he's talking to Nathan, good friends with Nathan the prophet. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that's in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Oh, we're going to come back to that. But that wasn't God's will. David didn't inquire of the Lord, and by the way, either did the prophet. And the Lord has to come back to Nathan and say, no, you can go back to David and say, no, I appreciate your heart, but you're not going to build me a temple. You have blood on your hands. You're a bloody king. That's not going to be allowed. I'll give your son the privilege, but not you. David, you might say, well, that was a good opportunity. Well, you don't need to pray about that. That's a good thing, but that's not what God wanted. And I want to encourage all of us, and I'm preaching to myself here tonight. It's easy to inquire of the Lord in the big things. But to just make our own decisions on the little things and just to sort of assume this is what's best and what God wants. And maybe we give it some thought, maybe we don't. Maybe we seek counsel, maybe we don't. Maybe we read the scriptures, maybe we don't. Most of us could probably go around if we had a microphone and tell us about when the last time you made a rash decision. That's the last time where you rushed ahead of God. Tell us the last time where you assumed God's will for your life. Or you didn't even, and you just went ahead and did something. And it didn't turn out very well. And you said, Lord, whoa, I'm sorry. I guess I need to inquire of the Lord. Are you in the habit of saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you want me to do? Lord, is this of you? I want to give some practical things that maybe you haven't thought about. Doesn't mean you have to agree. But I want to challenge your thinking. Do you pray about, for those that have families, do you pray about taking vacations? Do you pray about where? Or does that seem silly? Lord, we'd like to and we plan to and it's a week. Doesn't mean it's bad. Do you want our family, do you want my wife and I to take a vacation this summer? Lord, where would you have us to go? Lord, is this pleasing to you? Do you want us to go to this place? Lord, do you want us to do this? Lord, would you have us do something else? All I'm asking is if you ever even thought about that. How about, most of us, like I said, we'll inquire of the Lord if it's a big expensive item. A car, a house, something big. But what about little things? It may be I didn't say it's sinful in any way. A lot of times we only think we pray about, Lord, we're thinking about buying this or upgrading on this. Lord, is that what you want us to do? Lord, do you want us to do this? After all, if you and I believe that all money is God's, and if you believe that we're stewards of all of it, wouldn't we want to make sure that the master is pleased with what we're doing with his money? Do you ever even consider that? I'm just challenging your thinking to challenge you. For those that have parents that have children, I want to challenge you. I challenged parents and teens with this many times before at our previous ministry, but I don't think I have here. Parents, do you pray for your children or with your children when it comes to, for instance, do you pray about whether your child, your teen, should take a summer job? Do you pray about whether they should have a job in the middle of the school year? Does that ever cross your mind? Doesn't mean a job's wrong, but have you ever said, no, Lord, they may even have an opportunity. Could be somebody in the church. Lord, is that what you want for our son or our daughter? We need to know, Lord. It seems like a good opportunity. It could teach character. It could teach money management. But Lord, is that what you want? Do you pray about whether your young person should be involved in sports? That ever even crossed your mind? What's wrong with that? Well, I didn't say anything wrong with it. Is that what God wants, though? Lord, do you want? Is this best for him? Lord, we need to know. Before the season, our children know. We're going to pray about this. We're going to pray about, I preached a chapel series on that several years ago in Asheville on that. And I love sports. I love sports. And I've coached sports. And I still preached it in chapel, all right, about athletics. And, well, is this what God wants? How do we know it? Do we pray about it? I'm not so concerned about the answer as much as do you even think about praying about stuff like that with your children. Or is that completely foreign? Like, what? Maybe even offended you. Why would it? Are we not to inquire of the Lord? Does God not have our best interests in mind? Does he not know what is best? Can we not trust him? to lead us and to guide us? Or do we only ask about the big things and we have the other things under control? I want to challenge myself about inquiring of the Lord. As we wrap it up a little bit tonight, our time is almost finished here. Many of us, if you communicate with people, you may have prayed about stuff like before you push send on the text message. Maybe the Holy Spirit, oh, delete. I've had to do lots of those. Okay, Lord, did you want me to send this? Is this the right wording? Is this kind? Is this necessary? Is it true? Is this pleasing to you? Delete the email, all right? Lord, is this best? Do you pray about those things? Or do you just do it? Well, let's let the chips fall where they may. David inquired of the Lord. Hey, inquiring of the Lord is good. It's great. I mean, that's the thrust of the message tonight. We need to inquire of the Lord. But you might inquire of the Lord, but that's going to get us to the next series of the messages. You can inquire on a regular basis, but does God hear you? Because God doesn't hear everybody, even His own children. So you can inquire of the Lord all the time, but what if you're not where God wants you and you're in open sin? God, you can inquire. God may not hear you. And if you do inquire, how will you recognize His answer? That's one of the big questions. You hear people say it all the time. Well, we prayed about it and we believe that's what God wants. Great! How do you know that? Now, not everybody may be able to ask you that, but a pastor could. An overseer, a shepherd can say, well, really, how did you arrive at that conclusion? How did you know that? Great, praise the Lord. You prayed about it and the Lord showed you. How did He show you? How did you arrive at yes or no? How did you know what to do? All right, would you recognize that? How would you know it's of God? I want to challenge you on this as we wrap it up here. I want to challenge you to inquire of the Lord, inquire from the Scriptures. Remember, God's never going to give you counsel that's contradictory to the Word. Never. God never contradicts the Word of God that's already been revealed. Never, never, never. So if you get something back that's contrary to the Scriptures, it's not of the Lord. God's never going to, you don't even need to pray about something that's clearly commanded in the Bible for His children to do. If the Lord has commanded us to you and I to do it, we don't need to pray about it. We don't need to pray about doing something that God has told us not to do. If it's called sin, we don't have to pray about it. It's already been revealed in the Bible. All right? Those are acts of obedience or faith. But I want to challenge you when praying or when seeking out counsel, because the Bible does say we need to seek Proverbs, multitude of counselors, there is safety. But even in that little verse, you have to make sure you're going to the right counselors. Well, I got advice. Well, who'd you get advice from, though? Lost people? Carnal Christians? Can a carnal Christian give you biblical advice? Maybe. All right. Well, who are you getting counsel from? Are they wise? Are they willing to tell you the opposite? Beware of listening and heeding to others' counsel or advice, even from a valued source. We don't have time to look at these tonight because I want to wrap it up here, but we already looked at the one. The Lord, David says to the prophet, I desire to build the Lord a temple, a house. And the prophet says, that's awesome. I'm all for that. Do it. That wasn't what God wanted. Even though Nathan was a man of God and a prophet. Even people with good intentions could tell you wrong advice. Maybe they should both say, hey, David, how about we both pray about that right now? Lord, now look, this is what I want. The Lord had to say, Nathan, you need to go back. You gave wrong counsel. You didn't seek my face. That is not what I want. David is not going to build a temple. Be careful about receiving and heeding others' advice or counsel, even from a valued source. You know, in 1 Samuel 26, there's two different occasions there where David and his men are in the caves and the hills, and you know that Saul is like right there. I mean, they're in a deep cave, and David's like right back here, and I mean, Saul is like right there, right? And two different times. The one time his men said, David! And both times they used the Lord. This is of the Lord. Look, your enemy. This is God has brought your, I'm paraphrasing. God has brought your enemy here. You can kill him right now. That sounds good. That's not what God wanted. Second time was Abishai, one of his mighty men. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord hath delivered your enemy into your hands. I will kill him for you. And that's not what God wanted, though. How many of us would have listened to him? Especially when they use the name of the Lord. The Lord is in this. The Lord will have you. No, that is not what God wanted. And both times David did not listen to him. Not going to touch the anointed. That's in God's hands. Wow. But I'm telling you, you might have well-meaning friends and people. Now, Abishai, not a godly person. Rough group there. One of Joab and some of his brothers. All right. rough customers. But they like to invoke the name of the Lord has done this. Praise the Lord. And that could fool some of us. All right. Very, very careful there. Be careful with your advice. Even well-meaning people could say stuff like, hey, that sounds great. Do it. I think God's in it. Well, how do you know God's in it? Just because they said that? Well, but they're a good person. They could be a great person. They could be wonderful, but you and I need to inquire of the Lord. Lord, is this what you'd have me to do? When would you have me to do this? Maybe it's not the right time. Lord, I've got to know, and I'm not moving ahead until I know your will. Can I give you, I said I was kind of, I got 1 minute here because I want to, we're having a time of prayer if you look in the bulletin, all right? Would you look at one more example here and we're done? Look at 1 Samuel, just flip back a few pages. 1 Samuel chapter, which one do I want here? Okay, we read this at the very beginning, chapter 23, 1 Samuel 23. Can I say this? Be aware of non-spiritual people who give spiritual advice. Say, what does that mean? Be aware of non-spiritual people. Could be people in the room here. I didn't say not saved, non-spiritual. That could be a lost person or it could be a carnal believer. They're not really that walk with the Lord. And they don't really talk that way normally. And their lifestyle is not really one that you would recommend as a person you'd follow. But beware of non-spiritual people who speak spiritually, because it's easy to do. But normally they're not that, they're not really, they don't match up with the Bible. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit. They're not really a servant. They're not that, they're not really like the Lord. But then on occasion they may give, it sounds like good spiritual advice. Beware of those people, all right? They don't know, that's not really who they are. But we can usually tell a pattern of a person who they are. Yes, we can all counterfeit it, but it usually comes out. You can tell genuineness. You can tell fakeness. You can tell those kind of things. Beware, again, of non-spiritual people. Some of those examples. But notice who, we read this. Maybe you caught it. Maybe you didn't. In 1 Samuel 23, verse 7, and it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand. Now, did God deliver him in his hand? Was Saul close to God? Saul, you're trying to kill a man after God's own heart that God has already anointed to be the next king. That's not God's will. So don't say, God hath delivered him into my hand. That's not biblical, although it sounds good. We need to inquire of the Lord. We need to be careful who we listen to. We need to make sure that we seek good counsel from quality, high character, godly people who walk with God and it's proven over time. That's the kind of counsel you receive. But even their counsel ultimately is not what you follow. Ultimately, it's the Lord. I can have safety in counselors. I can take time to pray. I can read the scriptures, and we'll be looking at this over the next few weeks. Well, how do we know the answer? How do we know it's of the Lord? Those are good questions to ask. How do I know what, for sure? Do I just go with my gut? How do I know it's the Lord? Well, tonight's message is simply this. Are you inquiring? Do you inquire? If you tonight would say, you know, I don't normally do that at all. I just sort of do whatever. I wake up, I make my own decisions. I may read the Bible, I may not read the Bible. Doesn't mean I don't love God. Doesn't mean that God's not close to me. Doesn't mean I don't pray. But really, when you look down, I don't know that I inquire a whole lot of the Lord. You gave me some things, preacher, to think about tonight. You challenged me. Doesn't mean you have to do any of those things. Doesn't mean that they're all a sign of spirituality. I just wanted to ask you, do you inquire of the Lord of things that maybe are not as big as we often think they are? David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord again. I want that to be said of me. Dwayne inquired of the Lord. Not just big things, but all things. At all times. And I don't move ahead until I have an answer from the Lord. And then I obey that, no matter what it may be. May you and I be those who inquire of the Lord. Well, all right, I'm going to conclude in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege tonight to end our service by coming before the throne of grace. I know how precious it must be, Lord, in your ears to hear your people, those that are saved,
inquiring of you, calling out to you, Lord, interceding on behalf of others. Lord, I pray that we'd have the same spirit of prayer in our homes, with our spouses, with our children, before school in the morning, before work, at the family altar. Lord, if we have a decision we've got to make, if there seems to be an opportunity, Lord, we have some money, whatever it may be, Lord, may we inquire of you. May we not act rashly. May we not assume. May we know your will and your way. Thank you again, Lord, for the privilege to gather together as believers in the local assembly of this church on this night. Please give safety as we head home. Give us a great week, Lord, and we serve you with joy. And I pray, Lord, you give us opportunities to share Christ with someone who does not know you. We'll ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.